Beyond presents Spoilers for The Tragedy of Antony by Robert Garnier, translated by Mary Sidney. Continuing our journey through the play with Act 5. Following are some introductory notes and a plain text recording of the dialogue, plain text being the first cut edit of our full cast audio adaptation, so it has all the text, but no SFX, no Foley, no red stage directions, and it's the edit we use to hunt out textual errors, retakes or cuts, so it's not perfect, and we may change the take for the final thing. And if you just want to enjoy our production, then you can just stop listening now and wait for the release. Or if you're listening in the future, you can skip ahead to it in the podcast list. Some people aren't interested in me going through the nitty-gritty of how the scenes function. If it ain't for you, move on. If you're still listening, let's enter spoiler land. Spoiler land. Yeah, I really don't know what happened with that one. Okay, taking it down a moment. It's a tragedy. So this is a play with themes of suicide throughout, and this episode, it continues to be very graphic in description. And they do talk about it a lot. It's a play set during war. There is a dead body on stage throughout. So it's all quite dark. So, Act 5. And we're in the tomb with Cleopatra, her servants, Iris and Charmion, as well as her children, escorted by Euphron. Oh, and the corpse of Antony, which she is probably cradling for a fair percentage of the scene. Maybe throughout, depends on how you want to stage it. It's a long scene, so maybe not. I mean, Antony's probably quite heavy. Anyway, Cleopatra isn't very happy.
Oh, cruel fortune. Oh, accursed lot. Oh, plaguey love. Oh, most detested brand. Oh, wretched joys. Oh, beauty's miserable. Oh, deadly state. Oh, deadly royalty. Oh, hateful life. Queen most lamentable. Oh, Antony, by my fault buriable. Oh, hellish work of heaven. Alas, the wrath of all the gods at once on us is fallen. Unhappy queen. Oh, would I in this world the wandering light of day had never seen. Alas, of mine the plague and poison, I the crown have lost, my ancestors me left. This realm I have to strangers subject made, and robbed my children of their heritage.
There are a lot of exclamation points in the text here, and a lot of O's. But the love of her life has just died, and for neoclassical drama, again, this isn't actually a long speech. She's having it bad, but compared with Antony, she's doing okay.
Yet this is not, alas, unto the price of you, dear husband, whom my snares entrapped, of you whom I have plagued, whom I have made with bloody hand a guest of mouldy tomb, of you whom I destroyed, of you, dear lord, whom I of empire, honour, life have spoiled.
She's still blaming herself for his end. She calls for death.
Oh, hurtful woman! And can I yet live? Yet longer live in this ghost-haunted tomb? Can I yet breathe? Can yet in such annoy? Yet can my soul within this body dwell? Oh, sisters, you that spin the threads of death, oh, Styx! Oh, Plegathon, you brooks of hell! Oh, imps of night!
At which point, the tutor of her children steps in. Is he stepping in between her and them? I mean, if the children are on stage and she's perhaps covered in blood because she's been cradling Anthony, who's pretty much exsanguinated in front of her. Blocking the children's viewpoint here. There's an awful lot of potential with the staging here of something quite horrific and really quite poignant and sad. Anyway, think of the children.
O Queen, live for your children's sake. Let not your death of kingdom them deprive. Alas, what shall they do? Who will have care? Who will preserve this royal race of yours? Who pity take? Even now, meseems, I see these little souls to servile bondage fallen and born in triumph.
Oh, most miserable!
Their tender arms with cursed cord fast bound at their weak backs.
Oh, gods, what pity more!
Their seely necks to ground with weakness bend.
Never on us, good God, such mischief send.
And pointed at with fingers as they go.
Rather a thousand deaths.
Lastly, his knife, some cruel caitiff in their blood imbrue.
Oh, my heart breaks!
Though, to be honest, it's a bit late in the day to start worrying about the children now. She wasn't that fussed about them in Act Two, but now she does send them away with Euphron.
By shady banks of hell, by fields whereon the lonely ghosts do tread, by my soul and the soul of Antony, I you beseech, Euphron, of them have care. Be their good father. Let your wisdom let that they fall not into this tyrant's hands. Rather conduct them where their freezed locks black Aethiops to neighbour sun do show. On wavy ocean at the water's will, on barren cliffs of snowy Caucasus, to tiger swift, to lions and to bears, and rather unto every coast, to every land and sea, for naught I fear as rage of him whose thirst no blood can quench.
And now she turns to her children for a sweetish farewell, gives us a little scene with them, teaching them to forget their birthright. It is the only way to survive.
Adieu, dear children. Children dear, adieu. Good Isis, you to place of safety guide, far from our foes, where you your lives may lead, in free estate devoid of servile dread. Remember not, my children, you were born of such a princely race. Remember not so many brave kings which have Egypt ruled in right descent your ancestors have been. That this great Antony your father was, Hercules' blood and more than he in praise, for your high courage such remembrance will, seeing your fall with burning rages fill. Who knows if that your hand's false destiny, the scepters promised of imperious Rome, instead of them shall crooked sheep hooks bear, needles or forks, or guide the cart or plough? Oh, learn to endure. Your birth and high estate forget, my babes, and bend to force of fate. Farewell, my babes. Farewell, my heart is closed with pity and pain. Myself with death enclosed, my breath doth fail. Farewell forevermore. Your sire and me you shall see nevermore. Farewell, sweet care. Farewell.
Madam, adieu.
Oh, this voice kills me. Oh, good gods. I swoon. I can no more. I die.
Madam, alas! And will you yield to woe? Oh, speak to us!
Come, children.
We come.
Follow we our chance. The gods shall guide us.
And with the queen fainting, exit Euphron and the children. Charmion and Eris get a brief moment to confab about how bad the situation is and how bad their mistress looks, again focusing on appearances of this famous beauty We're not necessarily going to be winning any feminist brownie points at this point.
Oh, too cruel lot. Oh, too hard chance. Sister, what shall we do? What shall we do? Alas! If murdering dart of death arrive while that in slumbering swoon half dead she lie with anguish overgone.
Her face is frozen.
Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas! Weep over Antony, let not his body be without due rites entombed.
And Cleopatra recovers and calls on the various gods' fortune again and begs again for death.
Madam.
Ay me.
How faint she is.
My sisters hold me up. How wretched I. How cursed am. And was there ever one by fortune's hate into more dollars thrown? Oh, weeping Niobe, although thy heart beholds itself enwrapped in causeful woe for thy dead children, that a senseless rock with grief become, on Sipylus thou standst in endless tears, yet didst thou never feel the weights of grief that on my heart do lie. Thy children thou, mine I poor soul have lost, and lost their father. More than them I wail, lost this fair realm. Yet me the heaven's wrath into a stone not yet transformeth hath. Phaeton's sister, daughters of the sun, which wail your brother fallen into the streams of stately Pa. The gods upon the banks your bodies to bank-loving alders turned. For me, I sigh, I ceaseless weep and wail, and heaven, pitiless, laughs at my woe, revives, renews it still, and in the end, oh, cruelty, doth death for comfort lend. Die, Cleopatra. Then no longer stay from Antony, who thee at Styx attends. Go join thy ghost with his, and sob no more without his love within these tombs enclosed.
This makes her servants quite sad, and we get into a question of tears. There is almost a weeping competition over the body of Antony.
Alas, yet let us weep, lest sudden death from him our tears and those last duties taken to his tomb we owe. Oh, let us weep while moisture lasts, then die before his feet. Who furnish will mine eyes with streaming tears, my boiling anguish worthily to wail? Wail thee, Antony. Antony, my heart. Alas, how much I weeping liquor want. Yet have mine eyes quite drawn their conduits dry by long beweeping my disastered harms. Now reason is that from my side they suck first vital moisture, then the vital blood. Then let the blood from my sad eyes outflow, and smoking yet with thine inmixture grow. Moist it, and heat it new, and never stop all watering thee whilst yet remains one drop.
Antony, take our tears. This is the last of all the duties we to thee can yield before we die.
These sacred obsequies, take Antony, and take them in good part.
The group weep over. We are left with Cleopatra to do the closing obsequies. Antony is dead.
O goddess, thou whom Cyprus doth adore, Venus of Papros, bent to work us harm for old Ulius' brood, if thou take care of Caesar, why of us takest thou no care? Antony did descend as well as he from thine own son by long enchained line, and might have ruled by one and self same fate, true Trojan blood, the stately Roman state. Antony, poor Antony, my dear soul, now but a block, the booty of a tomb. Thy life, thy heat is lost, thy colour gone, and hideous paleness on thy face hath seized. Thy eyes, two suns, the lodging place of love, which yet for tents to warlike Mars did serve, locked up in lids, as false day's cheerful light which darkness flies do winking hide in night.
She continues to call on her husband, speaking into his ear. And there's a real practical question here, that if she is cradling his body, is it the actor, Anthony from earlier, or is it just a prop? Neither of which is necessarily the best way to go, because you'll have obvious breathing from a physical Anthony as an actor, but is a prop ever going to be very good or something you can act with? All the compromises. Anyway, practical issue. But lots of whispering in ear here.
Anthony, by our true loves I thee beseech, and by our heart's sweet sparks have set on fire our holy marriage, and the tender ruth of our dear babes, not of our amity. My doleful voice thy ear let entertain, and take me with thee to the hellish plain, thy wife, thy friend. Hear, Anthony, oh, hear my sobbing sighs, if here thou be or there. Lived thus long the winged race of years, ended I have as destiny decreed, flourished and reigned, and taken just revenge on him who me both hated and despised. Happy, alas, too happy, if of Rome only the fleet had hither never come. And now of me an image great shall go under the earth to bury there my woe. What say I? Where am I? Oh, Cleopatra, poor Cleopatra, grief thy reason reaves. No, most happy in this hapless case to die with thee and dying thee embrace. My body joined with thine, my mouth with thine, my mouth whose moisture's burning sighs have dried to be in one self tomb and one self chest and wrapped with thee in one self sheet to rest.
There were moments there where Cleopatra seems to forget who and where she is. There are kisses of the corpse and more promises of death.
The sharpest torment in my heart I feel is that I stay from thee, my heart, this while. Die will I straight now. Now straight will I die, and straight with thee a wandering shade will be. Under the cypress trees thou haunt'st alone, where brooks of hell do falling seem to moan. But yet I stay, and yet thee overlive, that ere I die due rites I may thee give.
Cleopatra's death will be performative. It will not be quiet.
A thousand sobs I from my breast will tear, with thousand plaints thy funeral adorn. My hair shall serve for thy oblations, my boiling tears for thy effusions, mine eyes thy fire, for out of them the flame which burnt thy heart on me enamoured came.
And here she invites her companions back into the fold for more weeping.
Weep, my companions, weep, and from your eyes rain down on him of tears a brinish stream. Mine can no more, consumed by the coals which from my breast as from a furnace rise. Martyr your breasts with multiplied blows, with violent hands tear of your hanging hair, outrage your face. Alas, why should we seek, since now we die, our beauties more to keep?
Tears done, we're back to kisses.
I spent in tears, not able more to spend. But kiss him now. What rests me more to do? Then let me kiss you. You fair eyes, my light, front seat of honor, face most fierce, most fair. O neck, O arms, O hands, O breast, where death, O mischief, comes to choke up vital breath. 1,000 kisses, 1,000 more, let you my mouth for honor's farewell give, that in this office weak my limbs may grow, fainting on you, and forth my soul may flow.
And there the play ends. Now, I don't know what Robert Garnier intended here. Whether he imagined Cleopatra expiring at this moment, dying rather than just fainting, fainting on you, and forth my soul may flow. But I don't believe that's what Mary Sidney wants for this moment. For why? Because she commissions a sequel. Samuel Daniel is asked to write Cleopatra that covers her final hours, which is a really interesting play with two different versions and which we will get into in more detail in the future. There are links to our first look exploring sessions in the show description. And yes, it's a really interesting one. But it is a clue that she doesn't die here, as some editors put in at the end of the text, saying that she dies at that moment. Fade to black, sobbing, or other things is a more appropriate response. Now, this scene is a little bit one-sided in its direction, but it's not over long. This is a very tight act, and it could be even more so in performance. And this is, again, something to say about the play overall. I mean, it's not necessarily perfect, but it has got something to play with here. It has got something you can give actors to work on. Sometimes it's harder than others to find the route through, but the themes are tight, the emotions are tight, and I say, whatever the issues we may have with it, from various different modern lenses, it does have a unity to itself that if we can place it and distance ourselves from it in a historical sense, it does have some legs. But anyway, that's my rigorous defence, or as rigorous a defence as you're going to get. And that is it from this spoiler episode and this play. In a moment, there will be a plain text recording of the scenes featured. And there are also a host, far too many, frankly, of exploring sessions on the podcast and on our YouTube. And links to material for the play are in the show description. And very soon, the final full cast audio adaptation will drop. And from that point onwards, we will be actively working towards returning to this play in a different way, because there are many issues with it that in a live performance we will be able to get to grips with in various different ways, and also engaging with its sister play, Cleopatra, by Samuel Daniel, which will work very interestingly in conversation with this. So there's an awful lot still to do. We're still in the lower slopes of the tragedy of Antony, for better or worse. And so, yes, very soon the audio adaptation will drop. But till then, I've been your host, Robert Crichton, and I leave you with the plain text edit of The Tragedy of Antony, Act 5, with Pamela Flanagan as Cleopatra, Sarah Golding as Eris, Lee MacDonald as Charmian, Richard Fawcett as Euphron, Gillian Horgan as the children, and I've been your host, Robert Crichton. Enjoy.
Oh, cruel fortune. Oh, accursed lot. Oh, plaguey love. Oh, most detested brand. Oh, wretched joys. Oh, beauties miserable. Oh, deadly state. Oh, deadly royalty. Oh, hateful life. Oh, queen. most lamentable. Oh, Antony, by my fault buryable. Oh, hellish work of heaven! Alas, the wrath of all the gods at once on us is fallen. Unhappy queen! Oh, would I in this world the wandering light of day had never seen! Alas, of mine the plague and poison, I the crown have lost my ancestors me left. This realm I have to strangers subject made and robbed my children of their heritage. Yet this is naught, alas, unto the price of you, dear husband, whom my snares entrapped, of you whom I have plagued, whom I have made with bloody hand a guest of mouldy tomb, of you whom I destroyed, of you, dear lord, whom I of empire, honour, life have spoiled. Oh, hurtful woman! And can I yet live? Yet longer live in this ghost-haunted tomb? Can I yet breathe? Can yet in such annoy, yet can my soul within this body dwell? O sisters, you that spin the threads of death, O Styx, O Plegathon, you brooks of hell, O imps of night!
O queen, live for your children's sake. Let not your death of kingdom them deprive. Alas, what shall they do? Who will have care? Who will preserve this royal race of yours? Who pity take? Even now, meseems, I see these little souls to servile bondage fallen and born in triumph.
Oh, most miserable!
Their tender arms with cursed cord fast bound at their weak backs.
Oh, gods, what pity more!
Their seely necks to ground with weakness bend.
Never on us, good God, such mischief send.
And pointed at with fingers as they go.
Rather a thousand deaths.
Lastly, his knife, some cruel caitiff in their blood imbrue.
Oh, my heart breaks! By shady banks of hell, by fields whereon the lonely ghosts do tread, by my soul and the soul of Antony, I you beseech, Euphron, of them have care. Be their good father. Let your wisdom let that they fall not into this tyrant's hands. Rather conduct them where their freezed locks black Aethiopes to neighbour sun do show. On wavy ocean at the water's will, on barren cliffs of snowy Caucasus, to tiger swift, to lions and to bears, and rather unto every coast, to every land and sea, for naught I fear as rage of him whose thirst no blood can quench. Adieu, dear children. Children dear, adieu. Good Isis, you to place of safety guide, far from our foes, where you your lives may lead, in free estate devoid of servile dread. Remember not, my children, you were born of such a princely race. Remember not so many brave kings which have Egypt ruled, in right descent your ancestors have been. That this great Antony your father was, Hercules' blood, and more than he in praise, for your high courage such remembrance will, seeing your fall, with burning rages fill. Who knows if that your hand's false destiny, the scepters promised of imperious Rome, instead of them shall crooked sheep-hooks bear, needles or forks, or guide the cart or plough? Oh, learn to endure. Your birth and high estate forget, my babes, and bend to force of fate. Farewell, my babes. Farewell, my heart is closed with pity and pain. Myself with death enclosed, my breath doth fail. farewell forevermore. Your sire and me you shall see nevermore. Farewell, sweet care. Farewell.
Madam, adieu.
Oh, this voice kills me. Oh, good gods. I swoon. I can no more. I die.
Madam, alas! And will you yield to woe? Oh, speak to us!
Come, children.
We come.
Follow we our chance. The gods shall guide us.
Oh, too cruel lot! Oh, too hard chance! Sister, what shall we do? What shall we do? Alas! If murthering dart of death arrive, while that in slumbering swoon half dead she lie with anguish overgone?
Her face is frozen.
Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas! Weep over Antony, let not his body be without due rites entombed.
Oh. Oh.
Madam.
Ay, me.
How faint she is.
My sisters hold me up. How wretched I. How cursed am. And was there ever one by fortune's hate into more dollars thrown? Oh, weeping Niobe, although thy heart beholds itself enwrapped in causeful woe for thy dead children, that a senseless rock with grief become, on Sipylus thou stands in endless tears, yet didst thou never feel the weights of grief that on my heart do lie. Thy children thou, mine I poor soul have lost, and lost their father. More than them I wail, lost this fair realm. Yet me the heaven's wrath into a stone not yet transformeth hath. Phaeton's sister, daughters of the sun, which wail your brother fallen into the streams of stately Pa. The gods upon the banks your bodies to bank-loving alders turned. For me, I sigh, I ceaseless weep and wail, and heaven, pitiless, laughs at my woe, revives, renews it still, and in the end, oh, cruelty, doth death for comfort lend. Die, Cleopatra. Then no longer stay from Antony, who thee at Styx attends. Go join thy ghost with his, and sob no more without his love within these tombs enclosed.
Alas! Yet let us weep, lest sudden death from him our tears, and those last duties taken to his tomb we owe.
Oh, let us weep while moisture lasts, then die before his feet.
Who furnish will mine eyes with streaming tears, my boiling anguish worthily to wail? Wail thee, Antony. Antony, my heart. Alas, how much I weeping liquor want! Yet have mine eyes quite drawn their conduits dry by long beweeping my disastered harms. Now reason is that from my side they suck first vital moisture, then the vital blood. Then let the blood from my sad eyes outflow, and smoking yet with thine inmixture grow. Moist it, and heat it new, and never stop all watering thee whilst yet remains one drop.
Antony, take our tears. This is the last of all the duties we to thee can yield before we die.
These sacred obsequies, take Antony, and take them in good part.
O goddess, thou whom Cyprus doth adore, Venus of Papros, bent to work us harm for old Ulius' brood, if thou take care of Caesar, why of us takest thou no care? Antony did descend as well as he from thine own son by long enchained line, and might have ruled by one and self-same fate, true Trojan blood, the stately Roman state. Antony, poor Antony, my dear soul, now but a block, the booty of a tomb. Thy life, thy heat is lost, thy colour gone, and hideous paleness on thy face hath seized. Thy eyes, two suns, the lodging place of love, which yet for tents to warlike Mars did serve, locked up in lids. As fair day's cheerful light, which darkness flies, do winking hide in night. Antony, by our true loves I thee beseech, and by our heart's sweet sparks have set on fire our holy marriage, and the tender ruth of our dear babes, not of our amity. My doleful voice thy ear let entertain, and take me with thee to the hellish plain. Thy wife, thy friend. Hear, Antony, oh, hear my sobbing sighs, if here thou be or there. Lived thus long the winged race of years, ended I have as destiny decreed, flourished and reigned, and taken just revenge on him whom me both hated and despised. Happy, alas, too happy, if of Rome only the fleet had hither never come. And now of me an image great shall go under the earth to bury there my woe. What say I? Where am I? Oh, Cleopatra, poor Cleopatra, grief thy reason reaves. No. Most happy in this hapless case to die with thee and dying thee embrace. My body joined with thine, my mouth with thine, my mouth whose moisture's burning sighs have dried to be in one self tomb and one self chest and wrapped with thee in one self sheet to rest. The sharpest torment in my heart I feel is that I stay from thee, my heart, this while. Die will I straight now. Now straight will I die, and straight with thee a wandering shade will be. Under the cypress trees thou haunt'st alone, where brooks of hell do falling seem to moan. But yet I stay, and yet thee overlive, that ere I die due rites I may thee give. A thousand sobs I from my breast will tear, with thousand plaints thy funeral adorn. My hair shall serve for thy oblations, my boiling tears for thy effusions, mine eyes thy fire, for out of them the flame which burnt thy heart on me enamored came. Weep, my companions, weep, and from your eyes rain down on him of tears a brinish stream. Mine can no more, consumed by the coals which from my breast as from a furnace rise. Martyr your breasts with multiplied blows, with violent hands tear of your hanging hair, outrage your face. Alas, why should we seek, since now we die, our beauties more to keep? I spent in tears, not able more to spend, but kiss him now. What rests me more to do? Then let me kiss you. You fair eyes, my light, front seat of honor, face most fierce, most fair. O neck, O arms, O hands, O breast, where death, O mischief, comes to choke up vital breath. A thousand kisses, thousand, thousand more, let you my mouth for honor's farewell give, that in this office weak my limbs may grow, fainting on you, and forth my soul may flow.
In the plain text edit of Act 5 of The Tragedy of Antony by Robert Garnier, translated by Mary Sidney, Pamela Flanagan was Cleopatra, Sarah Golding, Eris, Lee MacDonald, Charmian, Richard Fawcett, Euphron, Gillian Horgan as the children. Spoilers is hosted and produced by Robert Crichton for the Beyond podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, why not buy us a coffee on ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare, or become a patron and get early access and bonus material. Our patrons get to choose the plays we work on next. Go to patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Links in the show description. Till the final full cast audio adaptation. Goodbye.